+49.
Bienvenidos to a new episode of Expat Berlin. My name is Nadia Paredes, and I'm not your regular host Sigrid Arteaga, but today's program will be a special one. In honor of International Women's Day, but not just because of it, we'll be joined by the voices of women who have migrated to Germany. Moving to a new country is more than just a change of address. It's about uprooting yourself, adapting at lightning speed, and finding a way to make a new place feel like home. Today, we're sharing their journeys, the struggles, the triumphs, and the lessons learned along the way. Their stories go beyond borders, reflecting the universal experience of migration and resilience. So stay with us for a special edition of Expat Berlin. We hope you enjoy it.
So my name is Alicia Toffelmeyer. I'm originally from Canada. I've been in Berlin for almost 20 years. I've also lived in Brussels for a few years and England as well, but I like to call Berlin my home now. I moved here originally with my mother. I was supposed to be here for just 2 years, but obviously I liked it and I stayed and have built my life up from coming here as a teenager and now being a woman. The thing that appealed the most to me about Berlin when I first came here to visit was just how easy it was to be yourself. I really felt a difference, especially coming from Brussels, which is quite traditionally European and more structured. And then stepping off the plane in Berlin, I really felt much more open and vibrant community. I suddenly didn't have to wear heels. I didn't have to wear makeup. I really felt like I could just be myself and concentrate on, what I wanted to make out of my life and what I wanted to do. Being a woman, I think it's still a work in progress. I think we're living in a very exciting time where, we're standing on the shoulders of giants, of really strong feminist activists who have created a path for us that's not quite complete yet, but that we're able to experience and do so much more now as women than ever. And something that I've struggled with a lot in my life is imposter syndrome. And I know that a lot of women and people in general have the same. We're constantly doubting ourselves. Is this something I can do? Is this right for me? And I think the most important advice that you can take is just reach out for help. You don't have to do everything by yourself. If you already have the idea to do something, that's the first step. And if you feel like there's something you don't know or you need help with, then ask. There are so many ways now to find community, to find help. Online, there are institutions set up for that. It's really, really necessary. And it's something that we're not that good at as women. Asking for help can feel very vulnerable, but it's critical. We need to build the community up. And if you feel like you can do it, you can do it. So personally, I've worked for many industries that are very male dominated. So I worked in aviation for a long time and I was a young woman, really feeling that imposter syndrome there. And what really helped me was to connect with female mentors who were maybe a little bit more mature, more experienced than I am, or I was, to get their side of things as well. I think, again, it's just going back to what I was saying about building your community. It's so critical to get other input into that. It's going to be something there all the time, imposter syndrome, unfortunately, but just, do your best and one step at a time. I think, so this is also quite personal. I have a young daughter. She's almost 6. And I think about this a lot on the way that I'm raising her and what kind of values I would like to see in her and her peers. I think for me, I really focus on teaching her critical thinking to make sure that she can approach situations with a little bit of skepticism and some some options in her mind. I think growing up in Berlin, especially, not just Germany, but in Berlin, will present a lot of negative and positive experiences and options. So being able to approach those with the best critical thinking skills is very important. Yeah, for women in Germany, I mean, it's difficult. We just had this election that will affect all of us as as living in Germany. But I try to remain positive. I try to look at leaders of the business community, especially like Vera Posner. She's doing great work in terms of uplifting women in startups and business. And yeah, so just trying to stay positive and again, keeping with your community and building your community if it's not there is the best thing that I could say.
So nice to meet you today. I'm here to share with you a little bit my story, my love story with the city of Berlin and with a nice man from Australia and a special link with Jets Radio Berlin, of course. So in 2019, I had the chance to meet this man from the other side of the world, Australia, from Melbourne. And what hit me very well, what made me a very good impression was the fact that he respected me since the very beginning. And he taught me how to dance Lindy Hop, despite the fact that I'm a really, really shy woman. As a first meeting, of course, we shared a nice coffee in Bergman Kids, and later he suggested me to go dancing, but not salsa, not going to club, but in Tempelhoferfeld, where there was a Lindy Hop night. I had no clue about Lindy Hop, I had no clue about swing. He explained me everything. He told me, okay, we can just sit there, seeing other people dancing, and if you like it, I can teach you, I can guide you, I can lead you dancing Lindy Hop. I had only very simple shoes, no high heels, just basket, you know, very cool, easy, flat shoes. And it was so nice that he took my hand, and he brought me after 10 minutes on the floor, and he guided me very sweetly, very nicely. And then he went sitting back, and he let me dance with other people, also with other women, just leading me, guiding me. And I told them, you know, I don't know how to dance. Please guide me. Everyone were so nice. We took a lot of pictures, of photo. We spent there 2 hours. Time flies so much. And of course, this was the first of many swing nights. And every time we went back home, for example, because we were also meeting at home, spending time preparing together some nice meal. Of course, he's from Australia, but he has a different background. So he was sharing with me his recipes, and I was sharing with him some Italian recipes. We were listening to Jets Radio, of course. So by the time we're also dancing, for example, in the kitchen or in the bathroom, for example, so not the door, and it was bringing me dancing in the house, like, okay, I will teach you another step. And it was so nice. And after a few months, he had to leave Berlin. This was so sad. But back in time, we managed also to meet together again in Europe, in Brussels. Something magic happened there, but this is another story. And then we managed also to meet together in Australia. And there's something else happened, because I taught him something very special about Italy and about panzerottis. This is the key word. And he managed to find someone that has that a kind of a kiosk selling panzerotti, because I told him about panzerotti when in Brussels. And I was going to work when I was in Berlin. And he sent me a picture about this kiosk, and told me, please tell me about 3 different dishes from your home region. I told him this, that, and cialletta. Cialletta is typical from my hometown, Fasano. And told me, you know, I have to tell you something. I will just let you speak with a person here. And this person is actually from my hometown. The power of connection. You see, Melbourne is on at the other side of the world, in front of Tasmania. And he managed to find someone who's selling panzerotti, and he's from my hometown. He's not from Rome, he's not from Milan, he's not from Florence, but from Fasano. This is a crazy story. This is the 3rd episode, I would say. But when we met again in Australia, the 3rd time, so we went together again, dancing Lindy Hop and swing. You see, another continent. And of course, again, Jets Radio Berlin was like a good friend for us when we were at home, or also at the inside the car, for example, going here and there, because we were listening to the radio station streaming the power of technology. So it's a really nice experience to share with you this kind of magic story and this good example, a good let's say relationship or friendship.
In honor of International Women's Day, let's reflect on the significant milestones of the women's movement in Germany and the long journey to equality. The movement began in 1865 when Luise Otto Peters and Auguste Schmidt founded the Allgemeiner Deutscher Frauenverein, or the General German Women's Association. This marked the birth of organized feminism in Germany. The association focused on improving women's access to education, securing fair wages for equal work, and enabling women to earn a living independently. Luise Otto Peters believed that women could only become truly independent if they had the right to education and meaningful work. Though the association did not initially focus on the right to vote out of fear of legal repercussions, the groundwork was laid for future activism. In 1911, the first International Women's Day was celebrated on March 19. With over a million women marching in Germany and around the world demanding equal rights, including suffrage. The protest marked a turning point, transforming the women's movement from a small grassroots cause into a mass movement for equality. International Women's Day has been celebrated annually since 1921, growing to symbolize the fight for women's rights across the globe. It is now celebrated on March 8. The year 1919 brought another groundbreaking moment in Germany's history: the right for women to vote and stand for election. The first federal elections of the Weimar Republic saw 82% of women cast their votes, and 37 women were elected to the Reichstag. This marked a major victory in the struggle of political representation and equality, as women made up 9% of the German parliament. However, this was just one step in the ongoing battle for gender equality. In the post-war era, the 1949 German Basic Law enshrined the principle of gender equality, but women still faced significant legal restrictions. For instance, until 1962, married women had to obtain their husband's permission to work or open a bank account. They were unable to manage their own finances or enter into contracts without their husband's consent. These restrictions persisted until the 1970s, when women's legal rights gradually improved, granting them greater independence in both the public and private spheres. As we reflect on the journey of the women's movement in Germany, we also acknowledge the ongoing fight for equality. Though we've come a long way, there are still challenges to overcome, and International Women's Day serves as both a celebration of how far women have come and the work that remains in achieving true equality in all aspects of life. It is a day to honor the voices that have shaped history and the countless women who continue to push for change today.
Hi guys, I just want to tell my story, or just there's a feeling and story about this beautiful day, about us women. I was tired like this. For me, International Women's Day has a great significance since my childhood. From every early age, every match, it started with a bouquet of flowers from my father, from my brothers. Yeah, and it was very, very, very nice. Like, you wake up and you will get a flower, flowers, or you will get any gift. Your brother built maybe by themselves for you. Yeah, so it's very, very nice. And I mean, every woman around you will get any gift, your teacher, at your work, so everywhere you get. And it's very, very nice to see how they're happy they are. And it doesn't matter, both men and women can make this present to each other. I mean, I can give something to you as a woman, and men can give you something as a woman. So it's very, very nice. Isn't it wonderful? So, what the most amazing is that after moving to Berlin, March 8th took on a new meaning, as Berlin offers so many choices to women about who they are, who they want to be, and what kind of life they want to build. Being single, married, dating, having children or not, purchasing career or pursuing career, or simply learning through something like life, studying. And This is really beautiful. In Berlin, there is one important woman to me. A secret, it's you. The main host of this program. You're an example of a woman who supports other women, builds her career, and helps everyone who moves to this city or country. You simply include a person in your life, and they automatically become part of the community. And this is very, very important for everyone who is new in the town or in the country. And your friends become my friends, and we make new friends together. So it's, I mean, you're really important for this city. And this is what you do with this program as well. And I believe that Match Ace is your day, Zikrit. And one more confirmation of this is that you give so many women the opportunity to share their stories on this program for this day.
Hello, everyone. My name is Preena Patel. I was born and raised in the UK. My parents are, in fact, Indian and moved to the UK, emigrated, in fact, in the 80s. But we still visit India now and again. I split my time between the UK and Berlin at the moment, where I've recently started working for a financial services firm. So I've had the amazing opportunity to come to Berlin 3 or 4 times already, and I think I'll be coming once a month for a week for the duration of my new job. I'm really loving Berlin. I'm loving the lifestyle, the culture, the openness, and generally the people. And I'm pleasantly surprised by Berlin in that there's lots of food options available. I think I had a stereotypical view of food in Germany. Myself, I'm vegetarian, so I was expecting to be firmly disappointed being faced by schnitzel all the time. But actually, Berlin is amazing for its varied food culture and just the diversity you can get in food and in vegan restaurants. It reminds me actually a bit of Brighton in the UK. So yeah, I'm really enjoying getting to know Berlin, going out in Berlin and getting to know more people. So I'm very honoured to be speaking on International Women's Day. I'd like to talk about motherhood because it's a big part of my life and for many others who choose to be parents. I myself have 2 boys who are aged 9 and 5, soon to be 6. And I think it's challenging in the current environment to be a mother. I'm full-time working, so that adds to the challenges, but we all have our challenges when it comes to parenting. But I believe and I have hope that the environment is becoming better for parents, especially parents who want to continue working full time. This belief is based on 2 kind of shifts I've seen in thinking around what it means to be a parent and the dynamic between parents at home. So firstly, I've definitely seen a shift in fathers in heterosexual relationships taking more of an active role in parenting. And this can be anything from taking parental leave at the beginning, changing nappies, getting stuck in. And this shift, I think, is not only pushed by the mothers demanding that the other half, the dad, does more, but also a realization for dads that actually being a hands-on parent is really rewarding and really fulfilling. And dads wanting to be more involved early on in parenting. So I think there is a bit of a cultural and mindset shift that I've witnessed taking place. And this has meant that it's no longer considered or automatically considered that the default parent is the mother. And secondly, the other positive change I'm seeing that helps mothers is that mothers' rights are getting or have gotten stronger. This is especially in the UK, where maternity leave, which is taken, you know, available to mothers for a year, can now be shared with the other parent. So it's not only the mother that's entitled to a full year off, but also the other partner. Also, it's becoming more acceptable to offer more paid leave. So it's becoming more attractive to women to stay in full-time work. And in the UK, flexible working is becoming more the norm. And that shift was really seen after COVID, where companies realised actually people can make flexible working, remote working work. And it doesn't necessarily have to be considered a detrimental to the business or seen as a negative and a judgment on the person wanting to work flexibly that they're not so interested in their career anymore. So yeah, so I have hope and optimism that things are getting better for mothers and mothers who want to continue working.
Hi, hello, I'm Federica. I have 6 years living in Berlin, and here I started my own business. It's called Uphaving. And no one tells you when you're moving to a new country or you're starting a business that that will mean a lifetime of hilariously awkward moments. From accidentally using the wrong word in German, sometimes even in Spanish, to stepping into rooms where people just expect you to act in a certain way. This journey, the migrant and the entrepreneurial journey, is full of surprises, cultural shocks, challenges in general. But here's the thing, if you can't laugh at yourself, you're going to have a very hard time. And I believe that's when being raised into the mold, the cast of the feminine gives you. Because growing as a woman gives you certain flexibility. You know, you tend to develop skills like active listening, taking feedback without losing your mind, or navigating rejection with your head held high. While some men raised in the traditional male cast often struggle with their ego in these situations. And as women, we have been socially conditioned to adjust, to read the room, and to manage expectations. So we tend to handle these moments more smoothly. And not because we are naturally better at it, really. It's because we have been culturally taught to manage discomfort better. And that wisdom is the secret weapon when it comes to migration and business. Because the reality is that you will face rejections from investors, from landlords, sometimes even from club bouncers. You will find yourself in the most bizarre situations, you know, like sitting in a business meeting where someone assumes that you're the assistant, or just understanding or saying things hilariously wrong. And the best way to deal with all of that is just to laugh at yourself and then to go into everything with a learning mindset, right? Instead of seeing this moment as failures, you can embrace them as part of the journey. And honestly, that's what made Uphaving possible for me. It was just the ability to laugh at the chaos, to roll with the unexpected, and to find the joy in doing things differently. And Berlin is the perfect city for that, because people here refuse to take themselves too seriously. And that's where you can mess up, you can reinvent yourself, and you can find people who love the weirdness of it all. So yeah, that's what I love, and that's my learning.
So I'm Italian, if you hadn't spotted yet, but yes, I am. Actually in Berlin for the last 12 years. So I would say that for me, it's kind of a very quite a long time. And lots of people, you know, when you meet like an expat or someone else or like a gym, say, oh, why did you pick Berlin? Exactly. And that's what happened right back then, 12 years ago. Actually, it was a family move. And with the idea back then was to have some kind of a family Erasmus, so kind of a family gap year somewhere. We were both freelancers, me and my husband at that time. And we had a 6-month-old girl and a 2-year-old girl. So it was very much like a family move. And she said, okay, we're going to spend 1 year in Berlin. We know the city a little bit. It's fun. Let's do it. And then that shows how good we are in planning. It was 12 years that we are here. I would say that I kept on going with my job. I was editor-in-chief in Italy for magazines, and I kept on doing in another format the same role also here in Berlin. But what happened also, and that's life, luckily I also 5 years ago I went back to study, and so I moved also into the coaching and mentoring. So what I did is, like, you know, when you over 40, things change in a way, and you look back, you say, okay, I've achieved a couple of things and kind of proud of that, but I want more. There's like new layers you want to explore. And so what I do now, they kind of support creative business entrepreneurs or creative businesses from two sides, I would say. I take care very much of the human behind the entrepreneur. So I work on both, on the inner journey and on the business journey. This was very useful for when 2 years ago we were kind of in group, let go from the American company I was work for. So I was taking care of the Italian magazine of a very big company. We were let go, and that was kind of okay. So that was kind of a good kick into moving just 100% into the coaching. There for us, and I talk plural just because right now every decision when it comes to where should we stay, should we go, should we move somewhere else, it's a family decision. Again, it's always open, and it's kind of a constant topic in our relationship also. I'm not saying a good one, but still it's always there. So, oh, should we go back to Italy. It's easier in a way. It's more relaxed and chilled. You feel that you belong, even if you don't belong anymore. That's kind of the point, right? We all know the moment you move, it's like you're not at home anymore anywhere. But that's kind of, I'm okay with that. But sometimes you also want just to change. We also consider other countries, so the discussion is still open in a way. But we would right now definitely stay in Europe. Let me put it in this way. A lot of people say, oh, you are in Berlin. How's the nightlife? Okay. How's the clapping? I know it's great. No way. Again, 6 months old girl and 2 months old. I mean, I should invest all my money in a babysitting all night long. And I'm not even interested right now in that because I'm too tired. So that's where I was right at that time. I would say that it was incredibly to move with kind of two little girls were incredibly hard and tiring. But at the same time, there was a good side of that that was extremely exciting. And this excitement, this curiosity towards a new country is very helpful. It's like very much a self-care for a woman with two small girls. This means that I wasn't just a mom at home, because at that time when you're so small, I was mostly working very few hours. You are not just that block stuck in this routine, which is great, but still it's a very tough and strong routine and everyday life. You are also exploring. You are also getting into a new country, which is harder, that makes you feel more empowered. I mean, there's kind of this thrilling somehow that for me was a very good kick as a woman and as a mom. So we were both kind of feeling like an explorer at that time. I remember also with my daughters moving around. I don't know how the kitas work here, how people interact with children. And here I could tell a thousand of good and not so happy stories, good one and not so good one. We are still considered very loud, you know, and that, oh, your kids are so creative and everything. So this kind of, you know, curious way to see from a German's perspective or from an Italian perspective, as someone that is kind of just moving as I'm doing right now, my hands in a very chaotic way, but still I'm okay, I'm calm, and that is not seen as it. So I would say that it was very much a bit as an adventure. So with all the backlash and bad sides, so tiring, definitely. We especially loved, and that's one of the main reasons that we stayed, especially loved, I would say, the Kita time, so the kindergarten, as it is here in Germany, compared at least to Italy or to maybe other Mediterranean or Latino country, that was very helping kids to get independent. They were going out no matter the weather. So that was very nice for me. That was kind of, I learned also I added a new layer to my being a mom. So I'm not just the classic Italian mom, a little bit more anxious and worried, but very chilled on one side. So that was very, that was quite cool in a way. I think that time it's very peculiar for Germans, and I especially like that. Then when you move into, let's say, gymnasium and secondary school, that's more normal. I mean, they are getting more more into the classic good German in a way. So that was, let's say, ups and down and the little roller coaster that I've been through coming here.
Plus 49. Ask a German.
Hey, my name is Jen and I'm from Guatemala and I've been living in Germany for 12 years. And I have a question for you, Yvonne, as a German. How do you understand customer service?
In Germany?
In Germany, of course, as a German.
That is a very good question. So actually, I have two thoughts straight from my head. One is customer service is the department of a company that I need to interact with. If something with my purchase or order or whatever I'm seeking from them is not running smoothly, something's wrong.
So first of all, as a very, very efficient German, you're defining what it is. Yeah.
That's how I understand it, right? Okay. So I mean, like, I only get in touch with the customer service department in that sense, but in Kunden service, if I need something different than what I got, right? And then I expect a resolution of my challenge, problem, issue, whatever it is. And that should be straightforward. It is very transactional. Mm-hmm. Then I have the customer service where I think of the service rendered, let's say, in a store, at a restaurant, somewhere where I just interact with humans without actually something is going wrong in that sense. And there, to be honest, in Germany, I expect purely the delivery of the service without any hiccups. I don't expect overall friendliness because that's not part of our culture. I expect just general friendliness, which is pretty much just doing the job with a thank you, with a please, maybe a small smile, but nothing super on over the top or, yeah, totally wooing the other person. That is definitely not what I understand under customer service in Germany. But I also don't understand rudeness.
Yeah, okay, unless, but that is maybe a funny rudeness, when you go to a Brauhaus, like a German traditional restaurant and brewery, there I would say that the interactions with the waiters tends to be a lot more bantering and a little bit, I don't know if aggressive is the word, but it's harsher. It's more transactional.
So it's definitely harsher, and there you definitely don't expect a smile. And I think, as a German, I sometimes understand their extreme dark sense of humor, but as a foreigner, I would not. And then I would perceive them as super rude, definitely. We always joke about that that's actually part of their job description.
Yeah.
That is just part of the experience you get when you go to a Brauhaus. But we've also experienced some that actually do joke with you. So I think it really depends a little bit, like always, on the person. And maybe also on yourself, with what playfulness or not do you approach the situation?
Yeah, definitely. So in your definition, you're saying that in a customer service, when you have a problem, your perception of a good customer service is that the issue was solved without much hiccups, very smoothly, and no big deal.
Correct.
And when you go to a restaurant or shop, it's pretty much having an interaction. So at the end, you get the service that you're expecting delivered in an efficient and as short as possible time frame.
Correct. Lately, on the other hand, I have actually been wooed by a couple of companies where I reached out for whatever reason and I got the task solved, or an explanation at least for me to help understand why this happened. And then I actually got more from them than I ever asked for. So that was like, wow, that is for me amazing customer service.
Okay, that is super interesting, because I think we have the expectation as foreigners sometimes that customer service needs to be this super wooing and lovey-dovey relationship. But as a German, you see it differently. And that's, I think, the point of this section. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for asking.
Hi, I'm Gabriela. I turned 18 last October, and right now I'm working on finishing school. Turning 18 is supposed to be a huge milestone, not just because you're finally allowed to drive on your own, something I've been waiting for a long time, but it's also start of adulthood, freedom, the moment where you have everything figured out. But honestly, it's mostly just a mix of excitement, pressure, and a million questions about the future. On one hand, it's an amazing time to be a young woman. We see female CEOs, astronauts, athletics, and politicians proving that anything is possible. We have our opportunities than ever, we can speak up, we can make real changes. That's pretty inspiring. But let's be real, just because we can be anything doesn't mean it's easy. There's so much pressure to pick the right career, to be independent but also successful, confident but not too confident. We are supposed to chase our dreams but still play it safe. And as much as things have changed, there are still moments where we have to prove ourselves twice as hard. Then there's the whole future thing. The world is changing so fast. AI, climate change, new jobs that didn't even exist a few years ago. And of course, politics. What will life look like in 10 years? Will we have stable careers? Will we actually have work-life balance? And will women still have fight for their rights we thought we'd already won? I don't have all the answers, but who does? But I do know this, our voice matters. We get to shape what comes next, to define success in our own way, and to push for a future where being an 18-year-old woman means real possibilities, not just the illusion of them. And that's pretty exciting.
And that's a wrap on this week's special episode for International Women's Day. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did putting it together. A huge thank you to all the incredible women who shared their powerful stories with us. It's been such an honor to hear their experiences and reflect on their journey toward equality. I have to say, reflecting on this entire journey with their program for me has truly been an enriching experience. And it's not just about the inspiring stories we've heard from so many amazing expats and women. It's also been a personal journey for me. I've not only learned so much about the diverse backgrounds and experiences of those who have come to Berlin or Germany in general, but I've also had the chance to reflect with my own heritage and what it means to be German. And working on all this with Sigrid, the stories we've shared and the laughter we've had, has been an absolute joy. Anastasia already told you about what an amazing woman she is, and I can only 100% agree. She's such a warm and inspiring person to collaborate with, and I'm truly grateful for the opportunity to share this journey with her. I've learned so much, and I think it's been an important reminder of the value of listening to diverse voices, celebrating the achievements of women, and keeping the conversations about change and progress alive. So thanks again, Sigrid, for everything. And stay tuned for next week, where we will once again cover the latest news and updates. Until then, stay safe, stay curious, and keep celebrating the amazing people around you. Goodbye!